One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Well, we'd like National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section, Oral History 2, interview of Dr. Bernard Fisher by Mrs. Rhea C. Lehman and Mrs. Elaine Weissman. We'd like to know something about your immediate family, father, mother, siblings.
Well, my mother's parents came to this country, I guess, in 1880, that wave of immigration. They both came. My mother's father was, they came from Germany. My mother's mother came from Riga, which was at that time under German occupation, and my grandfather came from a town called Elbling in Germany, a little village, and they settled in Pittsburgh. They came with their parents. She came with her parents, my grandmother. And she was about 4 years old, I guess, 4 or 5 years old. My grandfather was probably 10 or 11. And they went to school. They settled in Pittsburgh, and they went to school, elementary school, I guess. I can remember my grandfather telling me about there was a Hancock school down in the on what is now around Grant Street. There was Grant's Hill or a hump or something. Nevertheless, they lived in Pittsburgh and grew up, my grandmother and grandfather. My mother's parents grew up here in Pittsburgh. And then my mother was born in Pittsburgh. Her name is Anna Fisher, Anna Miller, M-I-L-L-E-R. That was my grandparents' name. Mm-hmm. Their names were Abe and Pauline Miller. And my mother then went to grade school and to high school, which was then the Central High, I guess it was mm-hmm. called, which what was it, for Fifth Avenue High
Fifth
School?
Avenue, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And she graduated from high school there, I guess in the teens, 1915 or 14 or sometime. My father's parents came to this country from Russia, Joseph and Sarah Fisher. They came here, actually they weren't married, neither my mother's parents nor my father's parents were married when they came to this country. They got married in this country, and as a matter of fact, my mother, just last week somebody gave me the marriage certificate of my mother's mother and father, married in some synagogue in the, what is now the Hill District, or was the Hill District, but that was the area where these people lived. My father's father came to this country, and he went out, actually, I don't know where I guess he came to Pittsburgh, and as a young man, and then he went out to Kansas City, and he homesteaded in what would now be downtown Kansas City. But the problem was that he couldn't find, there were no Jewish girls in Kansas at that time in the territory. And unlike Barry Goldwater, I guess, or his parents, he decided that he had to have a Jewish wife. So he came back to Pittsburgh and met my grandmother, and they got married. And then they moved to Reynoldsville, and my father was born in Reynoldsville, Pennsylvania, which is a small village somewhere up is still in existence, but they then came back to Pittsburgh, and my grandfather, Fisher, settled on the north side, which was Old Allegheny. My father went to school there. He had grade school and a couple of years of high school at Allegheny General, Allegheny High School. And then he and his father went into the produce business, wholesale produce, and they were one of the, I guess, the first Jewish people who went into this kind of thing. And
excuse me, did he specify potatoes or tomatoes?
Well, he was an apple expert,
uh-huh,
I think.
I know they had their...
He was an apple expert, and he used to do a lot of buying, you know, they bought these boxcars of apples from Washington, state of Washington, and as a kid, I remember that at one time there was talk about moving to Washington where he wanted to get into the shipping end and this and that. But I didn't know really too much about this. One of the things that my father was very adamant about, and that was that neither my brother nor I, and there are two of us, that's all, my brother Ed and myself, that neither of us were ever going to be involved in that business. And so as we grew up, we really never were given an opportunity. We didn't really spend much time in the produce yards because there was always the fear that we might become too interested and captivated by this kind of, which at that time in the 20s was a very, it was a sort of an exciting, flourishing business. And so that is my mother and father, their origins. And so I guess we've been Pittsburghers. We're going back several generations. Myself and my brother are the only two offspring of my mother and father.
And Edward's occupation?
He's a physician. He's a pathologist in Pittsburgh.
The home atmosphere, was it religious?
Well, we were raised in a conservative synagogue. We went to Beth Sholem, and we were bar mitzvah and Sunday school and those kinds of things. And I would say that it was a middle-class conservative Jewish family.
And economically, the Depression?
Well, it was very traumatic, as it was to so many people at that particular time. Yeah. And actually, I was in high school, and then went into college during the Depression years.
And how was college paid for?
Well, it was paid for by a combination of circumstances. I worked. I had jobs of all kinds, and my parents gave me some support. But it was a lot. Although, you know, when one talks about college, high school or college tuition, trying to think what it was about $250 at Pitt a year, and medical school was $400.
I believe it was $15 a credit.
Something like that, and that people just can't believe it, but the thing they can't believe is that $300 a year was a hell of a lot of money, and that people were just as constrained about spending $300 as they are today about spending $3,000.
You didn't get any grants or scholarships?
No, I never got any scholarships. I wasn't at the poverty level, and nor was I guess, smart enough to get I went to Colfax School. From the beginning, I was born in. My parents lived in over here near the West Penn Hospital. What's that area called?
Bloomfield.
Well, it wasn't quite. You know, it's in that general area, Graham Street, South Graham Street, was where I was born. I was born in a hospital at that time. There was a Wexler, Lawrence Wexler's brother, I guess. I was told all these things. I don't remember them. But actually, he had a maternity hospital on, what's the street where the Sampson Funeral Home is? Neville Street. Right next to the Sampson Funeral Home, there was a maternity hospital. And my mother went there and had me there. I guess this was when home deliveries were going out of existence. Then I went to Colfax School. We moved to Squirrel Hill when I was about 1 or 2 years old. And when my brother was born, he's 5 years younger than I am, and we were already living in Squirrel Hill. We were raised on Sherbrooke Street. And Sherbrooke, we spent all of our growing years on that street, which is a rather, it's a one block street. You probably wouldn't know where it is,
yeah,
but
sure.
It was a very nice street, and there were a lot of very good people came from that street. Some of the luminaries were, that I grew up with on the street, was, one was Bobby Finkel. I don't know if you ever heard of him, who subsequently, we went to school together, and he went off to Hollywood and mm-hmm. became a very famous producer of the Dinah Shore show and all kinds of Perry Como and this and that. And Rabbi Jacob Rothschild was raised on Sherbrooke mm-hmm. Street. And just a lot of people who subsequently went on from this little street to without much money, without anything really, but there was a certain inspiration that all these people, ambition or whatever you want to call it, which
motivation
is the word, exactly.
Was your dad active in the shoe?
Not really. He was a hard-working man. He went to work about 3 or 4 in the morning and came home exhausted. He was a member of the synagogue, but none of us were what we would call, active, involved with causes. I don't think that was really part of our lives, except insofar as education was always stressed and that kind of thing. But I must say, really, and even my grandparents, my mother's parents, having been raised in this country, they were orthodox conservative, but not orthodox. They were a little more to the conservative side than to the orthodox side than we were. But there was never a real orthodoxy in our family, although there was no question about what our identity was and what we were and where we came from and what we stood for. But it wasn't the flag-waving kind of thing.
Was Mother the disciplinarian, since Dad had such unusual
Well,
power?
He was a disciplinarian. They both were. They both were in their own way, I think.
Well, who ruled the roost? The mother?
It's hard to say. I guess most mothers do, don't they? Matriarchal society. My grandmother was a strong, her mother, who also lived on the same street. So it was a matriarchal kind of
Did your grandparents move to Sherbrooke Street too then?
Yeah, they were originally from East End.
I see.
And then they moved to Sherbrooke Street, I was 10 or 11 years old.
Well, now we come to your school days, your friends, teachers, type classroom.
Well, Colfax School at that time, was really a very, it was probably 99% Jewish. This was when Squirrel Hill was, particularly south of Forbes, was 99% Jewish. And so, really growing up in that kind, when you say, we really, we didn't have any other identity because the people, that this was not an era, as you well know, of free comings and goings, Sherbrooke Street and Squirrel Hill and the Manor Theater, and that was our, Forbes and Murray was about as far as one went by foot, and then by, went by streetcar downtown or to East Liberty once in a while. But I guess we never really had any, this was most of our life, and so we were influenced by this kind of thing. So from Colfax School, I went to Taylor Alderdice and graduated from there in 1936, and there were an awful lot of smart people there. And Alderdice, too, I guess, well, it wasn't 99% Jewish, but it was almost, you know, I guess 75% Jewish anyhow. And there were good teachers, and we were, I guess I was motivated by, oh, a few of the teachers there. There was a chemistry teacher by the name of Lon Colburn. Did you go to Alderdice?
No, I'm not a native.
You're not a native?
No.
I'm a native, but I went to Shenley.
You went to Shenley, so you don't have... Well,
but we'd like to
but
have
your good,
names.
There were good teachers. They were very... Miss Pregler was an English teacher who was a, an inspiration.
Wasn't she principal at Colfax?
She became principal at Colfax, but she had been a teacher at Alderdice. And...
Did your biology teacher?
Biology, May Weber Smith was her name, and she was an outstanding teacher. It was, I guess, you know, there was a different, there weren't as many things competing for one's time, so that one, school was really the focal point, and activities associated with school, be they sports, which I was interested in, and that kind of thing, or various kinds of clubs. I was interested in history at that time, I remember, and also science. But I think I always, you know, even at that time, my aim was to go to medical school, to get into medical school, be a doctor.
When did that arise?
It's hard to say. I don't know. There were other inspirational factors. My mother's, my grandmother's brother, my mother's mother's brother, who was my great uncle, name was Julius Rogoff, and he was a scientist, a physiologist. Not in Pittsburgh, but in Cleveland at Western Reserve. And I had some contact with him, heard about him. He was sort of the awesome figure of the family, you know, the role model and that kind of thing. And I guess that helped me. Also had a family doctor who, Julius Goldstein, who was not really in retrospect very much, except that he was just a family kind of a doctor who, I guess, played some influence on me.
Were you ever sick in your childhood?
Yeah, well, I had all the childhood diseases that you can think of. Every one of them, I never missed one, like scarlet fever, typhoid, diphtheria, and mumps, measles, whooping cough, this, that.
But nothing that a doctor ministering to you would have inspired you.
Well, only in these occasions, yeah.
And you mentioned the clubs you belonged to at the high school?
Well, they were these extracurricular things, like it was something to do with public speaking and with a history club and a science club. And I guess there was something in my senior year which is of interest, which not many people, I mean, it always makes a good story around here, but... when I was interested in, you know, I was at that time rather tall for that time. I was 6'1" in high school, and so I was interested in basketball and sports, and but I was not quite good enough to be a part of the sports teams. I wound up as a sports announcer, and I for Alder Dyson, I represented them. They had what was a high school sports program, and I did this on WWSW, and I got interested and hooked in announcing, and this was of course before television, and I was a fan of the sports announcers of that era on radio. And then after, which sort of breaks up the story, but when I did go to college, it so happened that while I was in college that they needed an announcer for the Pirate baseball games, and I don't know, you wouldn't know, but you probably know, remember Rosie Rosewell. Well, they were auditioning, and in those days, announcing was different than it is today. You went up to the top of the Hotel Keystone, which is now, I think, what's that, college downtown, on the corner of the Boulevard of the Allies and Smithfield Street.
Point Park? No.
Point. One of the, yeah, that's it, I guess.
It Point Park?
Yeah, well, that was where WWSW was, up on the top floor in a little cubby hole. And so the audition was, they put you into a room with a table, and there was a ticker tape. And they would, Western Union ticker tape would come through symbols, and you would read these off, and you had to recreate the ball game. So I had this audition. Well, needless to say, I didn't win. Rosie Rosewell did, and I was just a young upstart. And that was... But that was I also at that same time in Pittsburgh on KDKA, Dave Garraway was, who you probably might remember too, who was the original one on the Today Show. And Dave Garraway, I auditioned with him at KDKA, and he told me, well, okay, fine. This was a depression days when people were trying to do anything. He said, you go home and wait for us, and we'll be in touch with you. To this day, I still am waiting.
Still waiting.
So that was my only really deviation from ever being interested in medicine. That sort of thing.
May I ask, were there outside cultural interests aside from the school program?
Well, lots of reading, and of course, not again in those days. My mother was very interested in lots of things, but we didn't go to symphonies, and we didn't really know about arts. We didn't really do too much of that, I guess. All we were interested in was staying alive.
Now we're off to courtship and marriage.
Oh, goodness. Well, I went to medical school here first at the university.
You took your undergraduate work here also?
I took my undergraduate work here, and then I got into medical school. I entered medical school in 1939. And at that time, it's of interest that there were only, you know, the quota system was a very strict and stringent. Remember, and they only took a certain number of Jewish students into medical school. I think in my class they went from 4 or 6 the previous couple of years to 8. So I was one of 8 Jewish boys that got into medical school. And then I finished medical school, and by this time, this Dr. Rogoff, who I mentioned before, had come to Pitt as a professor of endocrinology, experimental endocrinology. He had a laboratory. I used to work in his laboratory a bit. And he was an interesting person in the sense that he had been a surgeon before he became a researcher in Cleveland. When I finished medical school, I went to Mercy Hospital and I interned there, and the reason I went there was because the medical school was really, the clinical part of the medical school was at the Mercy Hospital. In other words, it was the university hospital at the time. And there was Presbyterian Hospital, this complex didn't exist. And so if you wanted to stay in Pittsburgh, that was the best place there was. And I guess, actually, there were only a couple of other Jewish boys that had ever gone there, and that was not saying that in any way, because I feel that, you know, so that was an important thing, but just to show you that in those days, there was a great deal of discrimination, as we all know.
Were you made uncomfortable in medical school or at Mercy in any sense?
No, I wouldn't say in medical school one was made uncomfortable, but when there were 80 in a class with only 8 Jews, there was a tendency for the Jews to just sort of, you know, most of the time be with each other. And I went to Mercy. There were only 2 or 3 others, as I say, in the preceding 100 years at Mercy. One happened to be Bob Grauer, who you may remember, and Julian Levinson had been there. Well, then from there I interned. I had a couple of years of residency at the Mercy Hospital, and so there was a lot of things happening before courtship and marriage. I mean, it wasn't like today where you got married in medical school. Never thought of that kind.
Yeah. Can I ask, have you retained friendships from your early years in Colfax, Alderdice, up to the college level?
Not really. You know, I have affection for all of these people. We were very close, but I rarely see them, rarely have any contact. No. So after part of a surgical residency at Mercy Hospital, then I went off to the University of Pennsylvania. At that time, though, before going to Philadelphia, that was when I did get married. I was still a resident of Mercy. I met my wife, Shirley Crewman, and she was born in Altoona, came to Pittsburgh at a young age, and we met and got married in 1948. Went off to University of Pennsylvania, where I completed my surgical training at the Harrison Department of Surgical Research. Again, still, I was the second Jewish person to be allowed to enter into the surgical program at the University of Pennsylvania. There was the first one was Nick Gimbel from the Gimbel Department Stores, and the only reason I mention this is because there's just no question about it that. Particularly surgery was a highly discriminatory area in medicine against Jews. And I had in those years been interested in going to Mayo Clinic or this place or that place, Leahy Clinic, lots of other places. And it was almost impossible, mainly because it was, as a Jew, you just couldn't get into those institutions. It was virtually impossible unless there was some anomalous situation. While we were in Philadelphia during those residency years, up from 49 to 52, our first daughter was born, Beth, then we came back to Pittsburgh in 1952. We subsequently have 2 more children. Joe, who's our son. Beth is now 30, Joe's 26. And then Louisa, who is, should be 22. And we've been in Pittsburgh. We went to England. I spent a year postgraduate medical school in London at Hammersmith Hospital as an exchange teacher there in 1955. Those years.
any of the children interested in medicine?
My daughter Beth is in medical school. She's a senior at the University of Cincinnati Medical School after having a career, it's her second career. She finished Northwestern University and then went to Harvard for a master's degree in urban affairs and city planning, and gave that a whirl for a couple of years, but found it to be non-satisfying for various reasons. And I think she would have always been interested in medicine because she was, you know, she'd come to the lab with me and all this kind of thing, but I think she was a typical product of the 60s where
she had
they
to
all
rebel,
had to be
huh?
their own thing, and she would never go into medicine because somebody might think that I influenced her. But I think, you know, it was late coming, but there it is. Our son Joe, he again was very close and came here, worked with me in the summers, but he at an early age professed that he'd never want to be a doctor, let alone be an academic doctor, and he is in hotel administration. He's been at the Waldorf Astoria in New York and is now at the Bellevue Stratford in Philadelphia doing hotel administration. Very happy, and that's great. And Louisa, the youngest, is just graduated Pitt, and she is interested in communications, public relations. She's been involved with a few of the local, she's interested in getting involved with TV. She's had some nibbles from KDKA, but nothing firm yet.
May I ask, where did you say your wife was from?
Came from Altoona.
Altoona. How did you two happen to meet?
Well, she lived in Pittsburgh when I met her.
Oh, I
see. She lived in Pittsburgh. She was born in Altoona.